Menachos, Paragut Aleph, Mishnah Dalet 11:4, and wrapping up the topic we had in the previous Mishnah regarding when and where one may prepare the Menachos. We had the possibility, according to some shitas, of Menachos being made off-premises, outside the Azara. And the next sentence of our Mishnah is wrapping that topic up, and the words are hard to translate, but the meaning of the words is straightforward. The meaning of the words are that if and when it's permitted to do some work in preparation of a mincha outside of the Azara, that work can be done in any utensil, on a chopping board, in a Tupperware. No need to have a klisharis, a consecrated vessel from the base of Mikdash. Whereas any work that must be done in the Azara, it also must be done specifically in a klisharis, a consecrated vessel of the base of Mikdash. That's what the sentence has to say. The exact words are, kol menachos yesh ben ma'asa kli bifnim. Every mincha that if it's going to be prepared or done, that which has to be done bifnim, inside the Azara, it must be done ma'asa kli, must be done in a kli sharis. Whereas ve'ein ben ma'asa kli b'chutz, if it's done b'chutz, it's permitted to be, something's permitted to be done, let's say that the kneading is permitted to be done b'chutz, outside of the Azara, then it need not be done in any specific kind of kli, a kli sharis. It can be done even on a plain wooden board or whatever the story is. Period. New paragraph. Returning back to our topic now of the primary topic of the parak, which is the lechem upanim, the shtei lechem, says the Mishnah, ketzad shtei halechem. How did the shtei halechem, those two leavened loaves of wheat that are waved on Shavuos, how do they look? What was their form? Arkan shiva, they were seven tefachim long, v'rachban arba, and they were four tefachim wide, v'karnosehen arba etzbos, and they had four protrusions, same as the mizbeach, the altar, and the temple had karanos, protrusions on the top, like spikes sticking up. So too did the lechem upanim bread have spikes of bread, if you will, sticking up. The karanos of the mizbeach are a whole amatol. Here the karanos are four etzbos. An etzba is the width of a thumb. Four etzbos is the same as a tefach, a hand breadth, okay? So whatever it is, you know, call it 3-4 inches. So in other words, there's no height given to the loaf of bread. Here essentially it's sort of a flat bread, which is rolled out from the requisite amount of flour. Remember, in total, the recipe called for a isaron, roughly call it a gallon, roughly, it's called 3.5 liters, 3.6 liters, something like that, of flour. So that was kneaded into a dough, and the dough was going to be 7 by 4, and however thick it will be, that's how thick it will be. It's going to be flat, okay? And then you'll have these, like, four corners that kind of, like, almost, like, you know, extra bits of dough stuck onto the four corners vertically. So it looks kind of like an upside-down table, and that's how it was made, an unusual shape. But that is based on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That's our tradition, how we made the lechem upanim. It does sound like from the Rambam in the Yad, it does sound like he understands that the etzbos is referring to the karanos is referring to the thickness of the loaf of bread. So it's more like a block of bread that's essentially one tefach high and 7 by 4 long and wide. The Mefarshim object to that, besides the fact that karanos doesn't mean that, there just doesn't seem to be enough flour to go around to make something so large. Okay, so that's a question on the Rambam, and I guess how the halacha would be if you assume the Rambam is the halacha. Now, the lechem upanim, how did that look? Arko asara v'rachbo chamisha. It was also, remember, each one was made by 2 isronos of flour, so 2 gallons of flour, say 7 liters of flour, something like that. It was going to be essentially also like a dough, which is arranged to be 10 tefachim long by 5 tefachim wide, so pretty substantial. It's almost the 10 tefachim is getting close. It's like called like a yard, basically, okay, something like that. And the width is like 18 inches or something. Almost 100 by 50 centimeters. It's substantial. But that's how it was when it was flat. And then what's going to happen is we're going to essentially take the 2 ends of that rectangle and fold them upwards, okay, to make kind of like called a U shape, or maybe a very simple desk, it's just like, it's like a, or as I described it in the previous Mishnayos, like a box without a lid and two of the walls. So it's like, you know, a cardboard box. So that's the idea here. It says the Mishnah again inside. It says, Lechem apanim arko asara v'rach bo chamisha v'karnosav sheva etzbos. It also had protrusions, and these protrusions are going to be coming out of the corners of like the folded up walls, the panim, the faces. And they're going to go again, turn to be essentially parallel to the base. So it looks, it almost looks like, it's hard to explain without a picture, but it looks like the upside down desk, then like the, there's like these four corners that are pointed in. Again, going to be sort of parallel the floor if the desk is upside down, if you will. Okay, so almost like a boxy thing. Okay, highly unusual and just best to see a picture if you can to get a, you know, this picture will be worth 1,000 words for sure. Says the Mishnah, Reb Yehuda Omer Shelo Sit'e. So you shouldn't make a mistake. Reb Yehuda said he gave you a mnemonic, a memory device, which was Zadad Yahaz. Zadad Zayin Dal Dalad, which is 744 in Gematria. That means that the Shtei Lechem was 7 long, 4 wide, and the protrusions, the chronos, were 4 etzbos. Whereas the Lechem Apanim was Yahaz, Yud Hei Zayin, 10, 5, 7. So it was 10 tefachim long, 5 tefachim wide, before you folded it up. And the protrusions are 7 etzbos, 7 thumb breadths, you know, like 1 3/4, effectively 1 3/4 tefachim long, pointing inwards. Benzoma had a drasha to support the notion of this unusually shaped lechem apanim. The pasuk says, "V'nasata al hashulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid." So why is it called lechem panim? Why is it called like, I don't know? Panim means like a face, okay? Because shehei lo panim, it should have faces. Meaning the same way in English you have a word, you're facing something. The two sides of the lechem apanim should face each other. That's what panim means here. So in other words, again, you take that flat bread and you fold up the two sides sort of are looking towards or facing towards each other, those are the panim. And according to the Girsa Rashi has, and the Bartender also brings this, there's this additional implication, not panim, but pinim. Pina is like a corner. So it should have corners, if you will, and that will be the source for not just there have panim, like the side walls that face each other, but also the protrusions that are kind of like little pointy corners, if you will, that point inwards. Again, seeing a picture is worth your effort if you haven't seen it before.